As always, it's good to see everyone out this evening to come back together to take time out from their daily lives to get back together with fellow Christians and to study the Word of God. I had mentioned about a week or so back that I wanted to look at the idea of how to be what we can call a smart Christian. How can we rightly divide the word of truth as we're commanded to do? And in that, in the verse that was just read, some translations will read, be diligent. Some will mention the term study to show yourself approved. And it kind of, why, when you think about it, do we study? Why do we send our children off to school every day or teach them at home or whatever it is, but why do we do this? And I asked Jared this question earlier today, why do we have you do school? And his answer was, so that I'll get smarter. And that's the exact answer. We want to be smarter in how we handle the Word of God. We want to be able to be prepared to go out and teach other people and help them to learn. And as I often do, and as I am a big fan of, we will take the letters S-M-A-R-T, and we will see how we can use those first letters to remind us of words that we need to use to become smart. Before we do that, though, I have pulled up some simple definitions. Having or showing a quick intelligence or a ready mental capability, a shrewd or sharp individual, clever, witty, readily effective as a speaker. That kind of relates to us, doesn't it? Readily effective as a speaker, able to teach others and to speak to them. Some of the synonyms that we find are bright, sharp, and expert. How many of us want to be an expert in the Word of God? Or adept, being adept at handling the Word of God. Some of the antonyms that we might find, the big one that kept coming up was the idea of stupid. And how many of us want to be called stupid? You know, when we look at it and we put it in blunt terms, would we rather be smart in how we handle the Word of God? And if we're not, what does that leave us as the other option of how we handle the Word of God? I know Cookie likes that terminology and is not afraid to use that at all. But the reality is that, yes, we want to make sure that we're smart in how we handle the Word of God. And in order to do that, the first thing that we need to do, we were just talking about. We need to study the Word of God to become a smarter individual. And so, what would you call the term study? It's an application of the mind to the acquisition of knowledge as by reading, investigation, or reflection. Now, all of those terms, reading, investigation, or reflection, require some point of effort on the part of the individual. And it's something that we need to be applying our minds to. It's something that we have to work at. It's to think deeply upon, to reflect, or to consider. Do we do that when we talk about the Word of God? It's to endeavor to learn more or memorize. How many of us try to take the time to memorize certain passages that would be easily familiar to us at a time when we're going to speak to other people? Isn't it nice when we're able to talk to someone that we have the ability to know exactly where we need to go to get the information? Somebody that memorizes material is simply someone, to me, that's investing an effort into something. It shows that you care about something, and it shows that you'll work toward that ability. It's to give much careful or critical thought to. Critical thinking. We need to watch how we study the Word of God, and we need not be flippant in how we handle the Word of God, but we need to apply a form of critical thought to what we study and what we learn. Some of the synonyms that you might find would be inquiry, research, reading, thought, or consideration. There are some Old Testament passages that we could look at that would describe the importance of study. Proverbs 1 and verse 5 reminds us, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. If we're smart about how we handle the Word of God, we'll attain a wise counsel when we have questions. We'll go to someone that we know has had more life experience and has had more experience than ourselves with the Word of God. If we have a deep theological question, if you want to use those terms, we're not going to go ask the new convert for the answer, are we? Are we going to get the knowledge maybe that we need? You can see we've got Proverbs 4, 5, and 6. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forget nor turn away, from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. And lastly, in 18:15, the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. That's what we're doing when we study. We are seeking to acquire knowledge. And that's something that we need to do if we're to become a smart Christian. We already looked at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. We're all familiar with the third chapter in verses 16 and 17 as well. So why don't we turn our Bibles to Hebrews, the fifth chapter, and look at verses 12 through 14. This is a reminder. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, because you've acquired knowledge, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of use, do you use the tool God has provided you to use to help teach others? Something to think about. And looking on at the letter M, similar to the idea of study, but maybe just a little bit different, is we need to meditate. And if we were to look at some of the terms, it's, again, to engage in thought or contemplation, to reflect upon. I found it interesting that even in secular definitions, they put in devout religious contemplation, which requires time and energy to think about something deeply and to reflect deeply, again, on the idea of spiritual matters. Even those in the world today that may not profess to have any kind of faith, and these people may, but they recognize the idea that meditation involves reflection on deep spiritual matters. Some of the synonyms that we found listed were to ponder, to muse, there's our word study, or to think. To contemplate, to plan, devise, or contrive. Old Testament verses, we've got several there. Open your Bibles to Psalm 119, and we'll look at verses 97 through 91 or 99, and you can mark down the first two that you have listed there for your time and study at home as well. Psalm 119, 97 through 99. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. You want to be smart? You want to have more understanding than your teachers, like it says here? Meditate on the law of God the Father. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and the flesh, or excuse me, and health to all their flesh. Looking forward, if we find it in the old, we're going to find it in the new. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. You're familiar with this. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, do what with it? Meditate on these things. Recognize them and think about them. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. This is an admonition to young Timothy, but I think it's something that we can all look at. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Not just meditate, but what? Give yourself entirely to them. Next thing that we can recognize that maybe we need to do if we want to be a smart Christian is we might want to be an asking Christian. And when we talk about the idea of what exactly it means to ask, it's to put a question to or to inquire of, to request information about, to try to get by using words, request something, to make a request or a demand. Some of the synonyms that I found, to question or to interrogate, to beseech, to beg, or to entreat of someone. Let's look at some Old Testament passages that talk about why it's important to be asking Christians. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7, "For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him?" Or he's saying, for whatever reason we may ask of him. Look forward to Psalm 138 in verse 3. "In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul." When does he recognize that it took place? It took place in the day when I cried out, when I requested it of you. Turn forward just a little bit to Psalm 145 and look at verse 18. "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth." He's near. He'll hear you if you call. He'll hear your asking, your petitions, or your beseeching. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. "Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone." Ask the Lord to do it. Ask him at a time when there shouldn't be any, and he will do that for you. New Testament passages, you can see we've got several there. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Let your requests be known. What is he saying? Ask, isn't he? Let your requests ask of God. James chapter 4 and verse 2. It's interesting, he says, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." You desire all these things, you war, yet you have nothing because you haven't taken the time to ask. Lastly, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, right? Here's where the world can get it wrong. If we ask anything, we'll get it, right? No. Not what the Word of God says. Let's finish what the Word of God says. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So be very careful in dealing with people and help them recognize those four words in there, according to His will. And if it's according to His will and you ask, you'll receive, right? Isn't that what we're being taught here? As we move forward, S-M-A-R, I believe that each of us need to be ready. And what does that mean? Completely prepared or in fit condition for immediate action or use. Immediate action. Not, I'll get to you next week. Not, I don't have time today, but give me a call. No, it's I can act immediate. And I'm fit and prepared to do so. I don't have to have extra time. Why? Because I've studied in the past. I've meditated in the past. I've asked God for help in the past. And I'm ready to do what it is that I need to do. It's to be duly equipped or completed. Prompt or quick in perceiving, in comprehending, in speaking, and in writing. Can we be prompt and quick in being able to talk about the Word of God when the opportunity is presented? Are we able to recognize it and act upon it before it slips away? Because there may not be a very wide window of opportunity, but there will be a window of opportunity. The question is, when it's there, are you ready? Willing or eager? That's a good one. Are you not only studied up in something, but are you willing to talk about it? And being more than just willing to share this, are you eager and excited to do it? Do you enjoy sharing the Word of God with other people? Is it something that you're excited about that you get to be able to do it? If you're a smart Christian, if you're a ready Christian, you'll be willing and you'll be eager to share God's Word. Some of the synonyms: you're fit or you're set, you're alert, acute, sharp, keen, clever, skillful, adaptable. Maybe you have an idea of where it is you think you need to be studying with someone, but they need something else. And you find out as you're studying with them and you're teaching them that what you have prepared isn't what they need at this time, it's something else. If you're ready to share the Word of God, then you're adaptable. And you're able to meet that person where they're at because you've put in the time and you're able to do something. That's a ready Christian. As we look a little bit further at some Old Testament, I got some antonyms on this. Unfit or unwilling. How many of us want to be called unwilling to serve the Word of God? And if we're unwilling to share, if I just don't want to do it, then I'm not a smart Christian. Because I need to be ready if I'm going to be a smart Christian. So if I'm unwilling, I'm stupid. Right? Isn't that when we get to the crux of it? Cookie, don't make me laugh. But think about it. If I'm not willing, then I'm not a smart Christian. And if I'm not a smart Christian, then I have to ask myself, where does that leave me? Old Testament passages, Psalm the 89th chapter and verse 48. What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? Are we ready for our life on this earth to end, because no man has the power to prevent that from happening? Are we ready for that to arise? Look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. If you're lazy, if you're not putting the time in, at a time when there's a need, you'll have nothing. Right? If you're not prepared, if you haven't made yourself ready, you'll find yourself begging or in a position you don't want to become a part of. Amos chapter 4, verse 12. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Be ready, is what he's telling them. This is going to happen, so you better be ready, or you better be prepared. And there's a lot of things we can look at under this topic. Very quickly, just keep a couple of things in mind. Am I ready when I come to Bible class on Sunday morning? Have I spent time studying so that I'm prepared to answer questions? Am I in the right frame of mind? Or am I simply unwilling to study for Bible class? Something to think about, isn't it? Are you ready, men, if called upon, to lead a prayer during the service? Lead a song service if you have that capability? Ready to read a scripture? Are you ready to do those things if someone's not here, or are you unwilling to do those things? So there's a lot of things we need to recognize when it comes to being a ready Christian. Look at Matthew 24, verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. It's coming, and it's going to hit you when you least expect it, or when you don't expect it, so you better be ready. Let's do one more from the New Testament. Let's look at Romans chapter 13 and look at verses 11 through 14. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Don't be unfit, but be a fit Christian, because you're ready. And lastly, if we're to be a smart Christian, we need to be a teaching Christian. And how do we define teach? It's to impart knowledge of or skill in, to give instruction. It's to take what you've acquired in your study, apply it to your life, and share it with other people. A smart Christian will study to become a teacher or one who imparts knowledge. It is to help to learn, to tell someone, or to show how We can teach without saying a word, can't we? Isn't that a big one? Doesn't Ernest say on a lot of occasions, not only what we say, but how we act and what we do. We are teaching other people. And we're either teaching them that we're all a bunch of liars and there's no reason to come worship us because our actions don't follow after what we say, or we're teaching them that we're true to what we say, we're true to what we believe in, and because of this, we want to share it with you. We believe it, and we live it, and we know it's what the way things are supposed to be, and we want you to do it as well, because it's what you're supposed to be doing. It's to give instruction or lessons in. Some of the synonyms, it's to coach, to inform, to enlighten. There's a scary one. Sometimes when we teach, we have to discipline. Isn't disciplining our children teaching them a lesson? When you get disciplined at work, maybe you get written up for something, isn't it to teach you not to do it again? It's to teach you so that things will be better. To drill, to school, to educate or indoctrinate, to educate, to help them grow, to get to a point where they can handle more all the time. Old Testament passages that we can look at. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Most of you could quote this one. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Teach that child from the beginning what he needs to do. And when he's older, he won't depart from it. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. If you haven't had a chance to read through the book of Nehemiah, that's an incredible book. It's incredible, the stories or the accounts that we see in the book of Nehemiah. In one example in the 8th chapter in verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Excuse me. This is at a time where all the people come together to hear the word of God, to hear what the book of the law has to say, that they can all grow. And not only is it read, but it's taught. Do you understand what's being said? Do you understand what you're hearing? And we have a sad reminder in Hosea the 4th chapter and verse 6 where it reads, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Well, who provides the knowledge? If they're not willing to seek it on their own, who helps to provide the knowledge? Those that are willing to teach, right? But those that choose not to make the effort on their own without the help of a teacher are going to be destroyed. Acts chapter 18, verses 9 through 11. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Do not be afraid, and do not keep silent. Speak up. Don't be afraid of what could happen. Don't worry about what might happen, but be willing to stand up and to speak the things that need to be spoken. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Another way that we can teach and admonish others, yes? Another example of teaching others. Do I always have to sit down across the table from someone with an open Bible to be teaching them? No, we've already talked about the fact that our actions will show it. But maybe it's easier for us to use song that we have. Maybe it's easier to open up a songbook, to see the thoughts that are presented in a song, and use that as an open door into teaching what the Word of God has to say. We have tools. We have to open the door in order to let them in. We need to use what we have. And maybe you need to start with just a little bit different approach. Maybe you find that someone has done or said something. Maybe someone comes in to this building and they're in a pair of torn up jeans, a ripped shirt, and a backward baseball cap. First time they've ever come in the building. The first thing I'm going to do is say, boy, you just don't have the respect you need to be in this building. You need to get out of here. You're not dressed appropriately to assemble with the saints. Or is that a time where maybe we need to recognize that there is a need to teach this individual something? And maybe we need to recognize that the only way we're going to be able to do so is to gain some trust and some respect. Now, if they come in here and they rile up and they jump up and down and they cause a commotion, that's a totally different story. But I would ask myself, what's your first thought when someone walks in the door that maybe looks just a little bit different? Maybe is dressed just a little bit different. Now, does that mean that you let it go forever? That you never talk about the idea that we want to present our best, whatever that may be, that our thought process is we want to show our best? It's certainly something we want to talk about and we want to teach. My question would be, is the very first time you meet them, at that moment, the very first thing you have to say to them, something that's going to cause them to turn around, go out that door, and never want to talk to you again? We have to think about that. We have a responsibility to rightly handle the Word of God. We have a responsibility to teach others. There's a right way and a wrong way to teach. And we have to be very careful in how we approach things. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Timothy, take what you've been taught, share that with others by teaching them, so that they can share that with others by teaching them. In workplaces, we understand they have the Train Your Trainer programs. Teach teachers how to teach so that they can show other people how to teach. Because you get the synergy of more than just one or two people putting the effort in if you're teaching and it spreads and it spreads and it spreads. Because the contacts that you have throughout the week are going to be or could be very different than the contacts that I come up with out of the week. But if we both know how to teach, then there's an opportunity for us to reach all of those people. But if I don't know how to teach, and you do, you may be able to teach those that you come in contact with, but I don't do my part, and so we still don't gain as much as we could have if we were both ready to teach. Makes perfect sense. So what's the conclusion to the whole matter? We need to ask ourselves, or we need to make sure we're trying to live a studying, meditating, asking, ready, teaching life. That's a smart Christian. A studier, a meditator, an asker, someone who's ready, and someone who's a teacher. Ask yourselves this evening, have I been a smart Christian? Or have I been unwilling and unfit to do what God would have me to do? And if you can say, yes, I have been unwilling, but I want to change, then, as we talked about in the asking, you need to go to God the Father in prayer. You need to admit any potential shortcomings and certainly any sin that may have occurred. You ask for forgiveness, and you ask for the help to be able to do that. Or, if you're not yet a Christian, because maybe you've been unwilling, maybe you've studied, maybe you've meditated, maybe you know what you need to do, but you say you're not ready, you're not willing, well, ask yourself, why? If I've studied, if I meditated, if I know what I need to know, what's holding me back? And if you can ask yourself that question this evening, and you can't come up with a good answer, and you know that you need to be buried in the waters of baptism, we invite you to make that known while we stand and sing.